We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Well, welcome to this edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm, Neil McCready. He is in the Clark Ford studio. I am somewhere in Omaha, Nebraska. Ole Miss trying to clinch a spot in the national title series tonight against the Arkansas Razorbacks. A rematch with Arkansas for Monday. That's 6 o'clock tonight. John Gaddis on the mound for Ole Miss. Arkansas, as of 8:24 this morning, has not announced a starting pitcher, so we'll talk about that. The other semifinal, the Texas A&M Aggies have come back. They've won a couple in a row. They've got to beat the Oklahoma Sooners twice. That starts today at 1 o'clock for the Aggies and the Sooners. So three of four teams left. SEC teams and the other, a future SEC team, as we have a Final Four here in Omaha. So a lot of baseball on the show today. A show brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. You know, lunch specials, $5.69, two sides, bread, 32-ounce drink, the Exxon mobile app. Download it, use it, save you some cash in a number of different ways, including some bonus points just when you sign up. It opens it up. You take a picture of the QR code right there at the pump, 1,000 points, 10 bucks. The Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Again, Mills in the Clark Ford studio.
I am Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi. 662-257-1900 is the number. Call it. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle, no haggle. You get your quote. The rest completely up to you. You can shop that quote around. You can do what I've done, but I recommend that you do. And that's hop into a Clark Ford today. 662-257-1900. Guest, join us throughout the week. We'll have an MPW Digital postgame show tonight. It's brought to you by the College Corner, collegecornerstore.com. They've got two locations in Jackson, but the website is rolling in the event that Ole Miss wins a national championship Sunday or Monday. We'll have a postgame show immediately following that game like we do every other game, but you'll be able to go to that site and hit College World Series on the in the search at the collegecornerstore.com site. You'll be able to order your Ole Miss branded gear immediately following that game. So be on the lookout for that. But we'll have that show tonight, and Jeffrey Wright will join, Brian Rippey will join, Chase will join once he gets to a stopping spot as well from Charles Schwab Stadium or field or whatever it's called. And
the Chuck, you know, Neil, the Chuck.
I refuse to say it. They will join on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline, Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Great place to get out of the heat, go have a burger, a po' boy, some appetizers, great beer selection, full bar, and more. All of that at Rafters on the Square. There's also Rafters in New Albany. And then don't forget about Rafters on the Water at Sardis.
This is the point of the week where I feel like I'm finally like settled in. Like you're here so long at this moment as it's Wednesday. It's Wednesday, right? Yeah, it's Wednesday at 8:27, where you have no idea of the days of the week, but there is a semblance of thought of, hey, you're just here for a while. Chill out. It is your home. You might owe some state income tax in Nebraska before you're done, but it's going to be all right. I'm not a good traveler, but I do feel like I woke up this morning. It's kind of like, okay, all right, like we're just good now. We're here, settle in, and you know, it could be through Monday night. So who knows?
Yeah, you could be there for several more days. I think that's the likely outcome. I was just on a show in Alabama with Mike Grace and JJ Jackson, two guys that I like a lot. And, you know, I said that, I guess we can start here. You know my theory about championship teams and Achilles heels, that they're like obstacles on a track and you're not allowed to go around them. You either hit the wall and can't get over it, and that's the end of your run, or you figure out a way to climb over it, whether it's a jump or it's, I don't know, back in the day, you probably don't remember, they had this show called the Superstars, and it was like NFL players and NBA players. They probably would never allow their guys to do it now because they're worth too much, but they would run an obstacle course, and one of the things on the course was climbing a wall. You had to climb the wall and get over the wall, and you'd fall on a pad, and then you'd finish running and whatever. Ole Miss is hit that spot in the course where there's the wall. Arkansas hit it on Monday night and could not get over it. And instead, what Arkansas did was they turned around and ran back, and now they got ahead of steam. And so they're still on the course, but they haven't climbed the wall yet. Ole Miss has run a very clean race to this point, but they've hit the wall. And Ole Miss's Achilles heel has been the third starter. And they've hit the point in the race where they have to grab the rope and climb over the wall, or you hit the wall real hard and you run back and get ahead of steam and try to do it again. And people say, well, but it's for Ole Miss, it's not really an obstacle right now. It can get you in two different ways, right? If you don't win tonight because you don't have an established starter, yeah, sure, maybe Dylan DeLucia takes the ball tomorrow night and wins the game. But then you don't have Dylan for the Saturday game, certainly. Realistically, you don't have him for the Sunday game. He's not going to pitch on 2 days rest if he goes like seven innings on Thursday night. Maybe you have him for Monday, but even then you've got to get somebody else has to win one of those two games to get you to Monday. You got Hunter Elliott, but Hunter can't go Saturday and Sunday. He's going to go one or the other. So somebody's got to, at some point, my theory holds true. At some point, you have to get over that wall.
Yeah, I don't want to get away from that topic, but it's on that topic. I think, you know, look, I mean, there's other ways to do it. I mean, this isn't one of those, hey, gotcha if I'm wrong. But I think Ole Miss wins or loses the national championship tonight, personally. Because if you win the game, you're set up, DeLucia, Elliott, in complete rest. And you're good to go, and you go try to win a series. And if you lose it, great, but you can't. I mean, at that point, there's no woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's set up perfectly for you.
Yes, yes.
Whereas, as you said, if you lose, and then tomorrow Mike's going, okay, a lot like Dave Van Horn's dealing with Connor Nolan right now, do you start him? Do you try to get somebody to relieve him? Do you do what? You know, he had to start Taylor Broadway in Game 3 in Tucson last year. It starts spinning like a top in all these different directions, and you are definitely behind the eight ball in a championship series, even if you advance. So to me, if we're talking about winning the national championship, tonight is the most critical game there could be for Ole Miss, because it absolutely puts you in the perfect scenario, or it has you really scrambling where you have to either get that monumental performance from another pitcher, or you've got to just out hit the hell out of somebody at some point and win a game or two. It requires the hero effort. Whereas if you win tonight, it doesn't require the hero effort. It requires you just to play really solid baseball with your normal rotation and beat another team 2 out of 3, either Texas A&M or Oklahoma, won a very, very hot 2 seed that should have hosted, but still not unbeatable, or an A&M team that you've seen before and you took 1 of 3, try to find a way to get one more of those when you're playing a lot better baseball. So, no, I mean, tonight, the stakes, given the totality of the conversation, it has the highest stakes possible. I mean, Ole Miss going with John Gaddis tonight. And, you know, look, Mike, I've mentioned this multiple times. We spent time on the show. We spent time earlier in the week. He is so loose right now. He is confident. He's just letting his guys play. We mentioned on the post-game show after they beat Arkansas that he said in the press conference he's canceled some meetings. He's had fewer things. He's just almost getting out of their way at this point, saying, hey, y'all have a good time. We'll see you. There's no reason to overthink this, overdo anything else. There is a weight off his shoulders, and you see that even with throwing John Gaddis here. There's two ways to look at it, but it would have been really easy for Mike to throw Derek Diamond tonight and go, we've always got tomorrow. It takes pressure off Derek. Just let's stick with it. Let's hope we can get 4 or 5 out of him, and let's go from there. He's playing stats a little bit. Arkansas's worse against left-handers. We talked about that prior to Hunter Elliott on Monday. So that is a portion of it. But at the same time, I also think he's going, no, look, this is the direction that gives us the best chance, even in a vacuum of which pitcher outside of the numbers. He trusts Gattis. He's going with that guy. He's going to see what happens, and then you figure out what to do tomorrow. And I do think he has a kind of a dilution diamond starter decision tomorrow, should it come to that potentially. I guess Washburn would be an option as well. But I think even in going to Gattis today, there is some in-season growth that you're seeing there for Mike. He's trying to get over that Achilles heel, as you're talking about. And, you know, he's going to a guy who's not going to walk many people. I mean, I think that's the profile for tonight. He's throwing John Gattis knowing he gets the left-hander who Arkansas struggled with, and he also gets a guy who's only walked 16 hitters in 43 innings. So, hey, he's not going to give a lot of free passes. He's going to throw the ball in the strike zone. He's doing it from the left side. Sure, he can get it elevated at times, but you're playing in this stupid ballpark where they don't hit the ball down the lines. It's not getting out of here. There's so many different levels here to where Gattis makes sense. And you just go, hey, here's the situation. Let me pick the best option. Not, hey, let's just stick with what we're doing and try to beat the freaking square peg into the round hole, which Mike's been guilty of at times. There is certainly a shift right now in this College World Series from what he's doing.
Yeah, it makes all the sense in the world. It's kind of like what Van Horn did the other night. Made sense. It didn't work, but it made sense. And I understood it. I understood the thought process behind it. I'll tell you this, and I'm curious to get your thoughts on it. If I'm Van Horn, I do not start Connor Nolan tonight. I don't. I start Hagen Smith. I think that's the freshman, the left-hander.
Hagen Smith. He's been a starter and a closer at times this year.
But he hasn't thrown a pitch in Omaha yet.
Mm-mm.
And so he's super fresh.
So he threw 1.1 and 1.0 back-to-back days against South Carolina and Chapel Hill last time he's thrown.
So he hasn't thrown in –
Over a week and a half.
Yeah. So I was trying to do the math on days. 10 days. So he's fresh. I mean, if he can't handle it, you lose. Right? I mean, if you're them. And if he can handle it, you've got a pretty fresh pen because they've played nothing but blowouts. They blew out Stanford. They got blown out by Ole Miss. They blew out Auburn. So you've still got arms. I'm not sure how effective those arms are. It's one of the curious things with Arkansas, and you and I talked about this before, but people weren't listening to our call. On paper, you look at it with Arkansas and you're like, well, what makes sense is you go to Hagen Smith and then you have a super fresh Brady Tigert who hasn't thrown a pitch in Omaha either, and there's your path to getting to Thursday when you could give the ball to Nolan, who conceivably would start on at that point 4 days rest. But I'm starting to wonder if Tigert is available.
That's the scuttlebutt going around here. Now, that's not from Van Horn or that's not from anybody else, but just sort of media having lots of time together here in this press box and around the stadium. There's a lot of talk about that Tigert has hit kind of that freshman wall, if you will, when you get toward the end of the season. And it's not just total innings. It's the high-stress innings that you see throughout a college season that he's never seen before in high school. It's just a different animal all the way around. So, no, look, Arkansas's bullpen's been, frankly, pretty damn bad the last few weeks. It has not been good. They are scrambling on who to throw. And I'm right there with you. I think that from Arkansas's standpoint, and Van Horn knows this, if you get to the semifinals, it doesn't freaking matter if you lose on Wednesday or Thursday if you don't win both those games. Your goal is to win. Again, your goal is to win the regional. Ole Miss and Arkansas were in the finals of the regional. Ole Miss is the winner's bracket champion, and Arkansas has to beat them twice to advance to a super regional. That is the situation that it is. Nobody goes, hey, well, you know, if you just won that game, you know, no. You got to win both to move on.
Yep.
Otherwise, it is completely irrelevant. And if you're Arkansas, the path to do that is to find a way today against John Gattis because, I mean, Gattis is not unhittable. I mean, that's a game Arkansas can win, obviously. You find a way to get through today, and then you put Ole Miss in a tough decision tomorrow because you go, hey, do you run DeLucia out there who threw basically 40 more pitches than Nolan, a few more high-stress pitches than Nolan on equal number of rest? Do you make Mike do that? Whereas you feel like with Nolan, he's going to be pretty fresh on 4 days rest. It won't be perfect. It's not normal, but it's much better than on 3 days rest. Because here's what you run into today. If he's not sharp or if he can't throw the ball across the thing, it could be over before you even get to the bullpen. Ole Miss could throw up a four spot in the first or the second, and then Gattis throws a bunch of fly balls, and you look up and go, well, that was the wrong decision because Nolan wasn't ready. You look like an idiot, and the Rebels are up 6-2 in the sixth, and you're done when they hand the ball to Mallett, and it's over.
Yeah, and I know the argument that people make is, well, you don't want to leave a bullet in your chamber, I start saying your holster, but the bullet's never actually in the holster. You can tell I'm not like a cowboy. Yeah, but you want to fire that bullet at the most opportune time, and giving him another 24 hours of rest. Like you said, he had a pretty stress-free outing against Stanford. He probably threw three stress innings, and then they blew the game open. And after that, it was just, hey, go get outs. And he was basically just throwing fastballs and getting outs. And Stanford waved the white flag because they were trying to think of the long game, which was the right call. It didn't work out, but it was the right call. So he's, yeah, you're right. He conceivably, and again, I don't know how Dylan DeLucia's arm is or how he pitches on short rest or how he feels on short. I have no idea. You'd have to ask. You would probably know that better than me, and you probably don't necessarily know. But, you know, on paper, he would be the more rested of those starters on the Thursday night game. And if you get to a Thursday night, that would be, you know, which that would be your goal. I don't throw a pitcher on 3 days rest because number one, he's not going to be as sharp. Number two, if your bullpen is the issue, and it has been the issue, he's probably not going to be able to give you more than four, five innings. And then you're going to have to go to your bullpen anyway. I give him that extra day of rest where he might be able to give you six on Thursday and minimize the whole bullpen thing. And Smith hasn't pitched in a while. He went, I can't remember the exact number, Chase, 6 1/3 maybe against Ole Miss. And
he went six full. Complete. He went six full, and he allowed two runs on seven hits, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, he's had some success against them. That would be the route that I would take. And if I'm Dave Van Horn and I throw Hagen Smith against John Gattis, and if I don't win, I don't win. You know, I mean, you're in the final four today. I mean, that's the other part that I think people lose track of. This is the final four.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not everybody's going to – only one of these four teams is going to win a national championship, and they're all right now thinking of ways to get there. And you're in the final four. It's not going to be a gift. And if at some point you meet your end, and if you're Arkansas and your end is you can't beat John Gattis, and you head back to Fayetteville as a – hey, you went to the final four. You're the only team in the country that's won 45 games in a row for 5 years. You got things to hang your hat on. You just don't have a championship.
Yeah. Continue this conversation in a second. First about Prime Shrimp, primeshrimp.com. Five different flavors for you, including their two most recent new ones. That is the Simply Shrimp. It's great for kids. It's great for people with a more discerning palate. You can doctor it up any way you like. Also the garlic herb butter, which is could be a complete meal in the bag, or you could pair it with shrimp scampi, with steak, put it over rice, vegetables, pasta, and more. My favorite is the signature, kind of a garlic flavor, great all-purpose shrimp there. $20 off your first order with code MPW. Ship straight to your door, money-back guarantee if you don't love it. 10 minutes, freezer to plate with Prime Shrimp. Again, that's primeshrimp.com.
Also brought to you by Holcomb Portable Buildings, 7991. Highway 7 South in Holcomb, Mississippi. They custom build your building to your specifications, however you want, your carport, ATV or storage shed, barn, hunting cabin, or other buildings. Holcomb Portable Buildings can accommodate you. In-house financing is available. There's free delivery and setup within 75 miles of Holcomb as well. For more information, call 662-226-2233 or find them on Facebook or Instagram at Holcomb Portable Buildings. It's really hot outside. It's a great time to stock up on the no-shows from Dead Soxy. DeadSoxy.com. Best socks you'll ever put on your feet. Enter promo code REBELGROVE at checkout. Get 25% off your order at DeadSoxy.com. If things get a little tense tonight and you try to medicate yourself via liquid, throw a Game Changer patch on first. You'll be glad you did. It's called the warm-up patch. It's used before or while you drink. The overtime patch is used after you've been drinking to recover while you sleep. In the event that you're celebrating or stressing tonight, that would help. The all-natural ingredients will keep you in the game, ready for the next play. Go to GameChangerPatch.com, promo code REBELGROVE20 at checkout for 20% off your purchase. Also brought to you by Automation and Control Systems, LLC, established in 2013. It's a complete electrical control system solution provider and a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator. If you're in need of custom HMI and SCADA solutions or large horsepower VFD specialist, ACS has you covered. They can service and install Rockwell Automation, Allen Bradley, Siemens, ABB, Square D, and many other manufacturers. Go to acsllcms.com or call 662-601-4381. And we're brought to you by Lammons Fine Jewelry. Lammons at 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford. Been serving the Oxford area for 75 years. Engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, watches, pearls, fashion jewelry, children's jewelry, collectibles, and more. Lammons is the gold standard in fine jewelry. Visit them at lammonsfinejewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777.
All right, guys, that's brought to you by Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting and understand your market. Leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com. So, you know, we mentioned John Gaddis a little bit. You hope that he'd, if you're an Ole Miss fan, you'd hope he doesn't walk much of anybody. He's not done that this season. Hasn't thrown a ton. He was good against Arizona, I think 2.1 relief innings in the regional final against the Wildcats. He got banged around a touch against A&M in the regular season finale weekend. That was the day where he threw at the guy and got suspended for 4 games during the kerfuffle there for that one. So that's the last time he's been on the mound other than the Arizona game. But that was a weird night. I don't really know what to put against him or not. He's been fine. He hasn't gone more than four innings, but twice this season. He did that against UCF. He went 7 complete, was really damn good in Orlando that day. And then he shut out the Knights for 7 innings. And then the week after that, he pitched against Oral Roberts and went 5 innings, 2 runs. He was a weekend starter to begin the year with Derek Diamond and Drew McDaniel. Funny how things changed, right? Those were the three. So,
you know, what's interesting about tonight with back to his story in a second. I do want to get your thoughts on this. It's kind of from a strategy standpoint. You know that if you're Mike, you go in going 5 innings is absolute cake, right? I mean, it's cake probably with icing on the top. You're probably going to get 3 and something, maybe 4 and something. With Mike, it's what's the score at that point? Which relievers do you use? Do you manage 1 game tonight or do you manage 2 games tonight? How much do you use Mallets thinking, okay, well, we might have to play tomorrow? How much do you use Brandon Johnson thinking we might have to play tomorrow? Or do you not think like that? Do you just go, forgive me here for the term here, if you have children in the room, put the headset in for a second. Do you go balls to the wall and just go, hey, we're going for it tonight. And if we don't get it, we'll lick our wounds and figure out a way tomorrow.
Yeah. It's an easy answer. If you have a lead after 5 innings.
Yes, absolutely.
Because at that point it's, hey, no, go get it. You got 12 outs, burn your guns and go find them.
The question would be if you're down, say 5-3, because if it's just 1 run or if it's a tie game, you're still saying, all hands on deck, let's roll. But if it's
I don't think I can burn Mallets and Johnson behind in a baseball game. I just don't see how you burn, but I think what happens today if you're behind is you hand the ball to Jack Dory and go, dude, I need you today. You got to give me a couple. You got to give me a couple and keep us in this thing. Let's score a run or two, and then we'll go from there. It's what's fascinating about postseason baseball. It's what's so good about postseason baseball is that chess match of, hey, I've only got so many bullets here. When am I firing them? What do I do? Because if I do it today, I can't do it tomorrow. I mean, you're not – this is muskets around here. It takes a minute to reload. So it's
And if you're Van Horn tonight, you just have to shoot your guns. And tomorrow
we'll figure it out. I don't know.
You might wake up tomorrow and go, we have no weapons. We're done. I mean –
our goal today is they missed 18 times. That's the goal today.
we are going to really hope that
it is a good analogy of you're in a duel and you shoot and miss and go, well, hopefully he fires over my head. I don't know.
But you're right. For Mike, there's some strategy today. I mean, Van Horn's got the strategy of the starting pitcher thing, and if whoever he starts, if that doesn't work, well, he's in trouble. I mean, you're now you're just scrambling. But if you're Mike, there's some strategy, there's some logic, there's some thinking ahead, because
manna from heaven for Mike today, perfect, is 4 from Gaddis, 2 from Doherty, 2 from Mallets, 1 from Johnson.
Yeah.
That's manna from heaven. The game goes perfectly, and you go, oh, God, this tournament is just I mean, it is the.
He gets that, and you start to think that somebody sold their soul. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I said on that story.
Yeah, because at that point, Schlossnagel and Skip Johnson are looking over, going, "Good God, like, can something happen over here to this punchline?"
I do get the sense that tonight's, they haven't had any adversity in this postseason since. I mean, if you want to call the Miami game adversity, okay.
The closest adversity was they were down 4-2 in the sixth of their regional opener against Arizona.
Yeah. That's it, really. And since then, it's just been, hey, this is cake. And you get the sense that tonight's the night that they get some adversity, that tonight's the night that you got to scramble a little and win it. Frankly, tonight, if they win this thing super clean, you ought to go ahead and go to College Corner Store. That's collegecornerstore.com and just order your stuff. I mean, if they win tonight clean, I don't see how they don't win it, frankly.
If they lose tonight, what do you expect from them tomorrow? Shake it off and show up?
Yeah, sure. Sure. I mean, look, if they lose tonight, it's you get up on Thursday and you go play. You're going to play a tired team. Arkansas will have played at that point Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They'll be playing their fourth game in 4 days. Their fifth game in 6 days. They don't have a great bullpen. You've seen that. And, you know, even if it's Noland, he's not working on full rest. And your guy's not going to be on full rest. It might come down to a battle of lineups. We talked about this before. I mean, and look, Ole Miss has overcome this once already. They had a Derek Nyman start in Coral Gables where Derek was not good. And Arizona hit him hard. And Ole Miss won the game anyway, because they hit that guy hard. Now, Arkansas's got a little better pitching situation than what Arizona had that day. Well, a lot better, frankly. But
yeah, come on.
But yeah, look, I don't think you win a national championship and never get stressed. That typically doesn't happen. I'm sure someone could show me an example where it has happened. But
that South Carolina team just beat the hell out of everybody. But otherwise, yeah, it's a pretty uncommon thing. Frankly, the championship series usually goes 3 games.
Yeah. You know, I mean, even the really good Vanderbilt teams that won titles got stressed, had moments. Tennessee got stressed this year and couldn't handle it. We kept waiting for it to happen. It finally happened, and they couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
So it feels
State
like
– was down to basically their last out last year.
Yeah. It feels like that moment of stress has arrived for Ole Miss. It doesn't mean that they can't handle it. I anticipate that they're going to handle it. I told you – I think you and I differ on this. I kind of think Ole Miss wins this series tomorrow night.
I'm not even doubting that. I just think that removes their chance, or that moves their chances of winning the championship series down drastically.
Yeah,
is my thought there. I'm not saying they can't win tomorrow. Because here, look, I mean, who knows? I mean, in 5 minutes, Hagan Smith may be announced the starter and whatever. So I'm not predicting anything. But at the same time, I think Arkansas is throwing Connor Noland tonight. That was the body language I read from Dave Van Horn.
Yeah.
I mean, could be wrong. Again, who knows?
Such a weird decision on his part, because if you use Noland tonight, you're almost certainly going to have to use Smith tonight too, which makes so what are you doing Thursday?
We're down in the weeds here, but I thought it was interesting that he didn't say maybe I'm reading this opposite way as I talk this out. His quote was not, "I can use Connor on 3 days rest." It was, "Connor told me he wants the ball on 3 days rest." And I thought,
Yeah.
He's going to give it to him. Because he didn't come back and go, "I don't know if that's smart. You know, I mean, I know the kid's a competitor and blah, 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 blah." He just said, "Connor wants the ball." And look, he threw Kevin Kopp's arm off last year. He's not beyond doing a guy on 3 days rest.
He did, and it almost worked for him last year. You know, if you go back and look at that, when they threw Copps as the starter in that.
He was damn good against NC State that day.
He gave up one run in 9 innings. I mean,
sorry. Can't ask for much more, can you?
I mean, you know, it worked. I mean, but yeah, I'm looking kind of around to see if.
The final part of my last thought on Gattis was that it's not some like crazy adversity story, but it's a pretty neat story. He's a guy that had ulnar relocation surgery. Why was it Texas A&M Corpus Christi? They had to basically take the nerve and move it over in his elbow. He was average. He was not completely healthy when he started his junior or senior season or whatever you want to call it at Texas A&M Corpus Christi for the Islanders, and then got red hot in the middle of the year. The last 52.1 innings of his season at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, he allowed 4 earned runs the entire time. It was just phenomenal there. He gets into medical school. He's a very, very bright guy. He defers it to transfer to Ole Miss. And he gave me a quote when I talked to him. I talked to him June 9th of last year that essentially he was deferring medical school because he just had the dream of pitching in the College World Series. And he is starting a regional or bracket final game tonight in that standpoint. We always talk about the whoop scores and the pulses. His heart rate's going to be a little high, about 603, as he's taking that mound tonight. That's going to – because the Ole Miss is the home team. They will be in the field first. It's going to – he's going to have to settle it for a guy who kind of relies on routine and efficiency and then throwing the ball to the strike zone. He's going to have to manage some emotions tonight because that's going to be a crazy environment. There's even more Ole Miss fans in town than were the other day. The Arkansas fans haven't left. I mean, it's kind of bedlam part two if we get a close game.
Yeah, it's a great story on a team that is just full of it's a phenomenal story. The story arc, frankly, if he goes out tonight and pitches great and wins a game, Hollywood goes, nah, this is not realistic. No.
Who won game 3? Well, it's this guy we picked up, this dude from A&M Corpus Christi. Like, yeah, I don't know. Like,
he deferred medical school because he had a dream about pitching in the College World Series. And there he is. Come on. I mean, Hollywood would be like, someone's got to get hurt or die or something. Sorry. We're not doing the G-rated Disney movie.
Yeah, so what happened the game before? Oh, you know, this good-looking freshman, he's the next one. Okay, great, awesome, thanks, yeah.
Yeah, that, oh, yeah, the guy just came in. No. So there was never any adversity? No. Like, even Dora the Explorer swipes the stuff sometimes, you know? I mean, they got to go find it. You know, the grumpy old troll says, I got to solve my riddle. I mean, there's stuff, there's obstacles in the path that makes the story. It'd be phenomenal. By the way, I just went and looked. I can't find where Van Horn has named a starter yet.
What do you make of this first game today? A&M is not out of this thing yet.
No. Look. If you're looking at this objectively today and going, rate the team's chances at a national championship, A&M is not fourth. I think Arkansas is fourth right now to win a national championship. A&M's second or third, probably third at this moment because they have a loss. But those cats, man, they just find ways to win games. I mean, they bring their pitcher back on short rest yesterday, and he just shoves it at Notre Dame, just pitches the game of his life.
Mm-hmm.
They hit. They stress your pitching. They work counts. They do that pace thing that takes forever to play a game that bothers people. It's hot, so you're standing out in the field for forever, baking on an infield or baking.
They take forever, and they make you rush because you're in a hurry to get on with it when they finally get into the box.
Yeah. They are not dead until they're dead. They have that. They kind of play with a different. You've seen it. They kind of play with an edge, a little spirit to them. Stuff. They're not going away. I mean, I think Oklahoma gets them, but I won't be surprised if it takes till Thursday for Oklahoma to get them.
I think Oklahoma does win, but yeah, for some reason I kind of have A&M win today. That feels right.
I don't know what it is. I think there's two games tomorrow. That's the gut feeling that I've got. So far, my gut's been pretty good on this deal.
I completely screwed up one side of the bracket, and then I have the other one actually pretty good. I mean, I think I had Ole Miss kind of going win, loss, loss. I thought they would beat Auburn and then probably go 1-2 overall. I had Stanford coming out of that side. That was a screw up. But I did have Oklahoma coming out of the other side, and so far they've played well.
Yeah, you thought Auburn would win last night. Auburn just ran out.
They also were sick. Apparently, they had a bug run through them or having severe issues.
Yeah, a bunch of guys were having to stay close to the restroom.
Yeah.
Which is
I don't know if it was a bug. I mean, some people thought it might have been some water issue. I don't know. I haven't heard exactly what happened.
Yeah, I just heard bug of some sort. It's one of those deals where it is what it is. Nobody really wants to go inspect it, you know.
But I mean, of all times, like, good God, like.
Oh, and not only that, but is it in the heat.
Yeah.
I mean, the last thing when your stomach hurts, the last thing you want to do is go play in the heat.
Yeah, that was an advantage because Auburn was pretty listless last night. There was not much fight in the Tigers.
And I'm sure Dave Van Horn last night a few times thought to himself, would this kid have done this on Monday if I'd given him a chance?
Mm-hmm.
You know that went through his mind.
I understand what you're saying. And, yes, you can easily make a logical decision on throwing Morris. McIntyre's just been their best guy the last 2 weeks other than Nolan. And I hate going away from your best guy just because of some numbers. Like, just pitch your dude, especially in college baseball. Just throw your guy.
It could end up being a decision that he has to live with all summer. That could – I mean, you know that's rattled through his head a few times in the last 24 hours. Like, ugh. You know what's crazy, though, is if they get to Thursday, at some point you've got to run Morris back out there.
Yeah.
Hey, forget it. Go try to do your thing again. It's why I'm interested with Gattis, right? Is he's pitched some games, but he's never pitched one of these games. And so you don't know how he's gonna respond. It might just be awesome. It might just be a parade out there. And on the same time, he might have a Zach Morris moment where you give up an early hit. You're kind of scuffling with your control, and they're spitting on your off speed stuff, and you just can't get out of it. And that's hard. It's a pretty good lineup that both Ole Miss and Arkansas have pretty hot lineups right now. There's hot hitters kind of throughout the lineups. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking about it kind of off the top of my head. I don't know. Gattis really has not been in because I mean, by the time he was in Arizona. I mean, Ole Miss was at least starting their hit parade at that point. You needed to get a lot of runs. That was about to take off. I mean, he is not – I mean, I guess A&M, because of the stakes they thought were at play, but that's totally different than what this is. I mean, this is this neutral environment, this whole deal. I mean, I can't really compute. I mean, his toughest environment was probably Fayetteville, and he pitched well. He threw 2.1 scoreless innings in relief against the Razorbacks there on May 1st, I think is what day it was. But, no, it's a different world for him today. The park will help him if he'll let the park help him. That is the goal today if you're John Gattis. I mean, I saw the stats. I think they showed them on the screen during the Ole Miss game the other night. Since 2011, when this park became the home of the College World Series, there have been 5 home runs to center field total in this tournament in 12 years or 11 years or whatever it is.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
The kid for Auburn, the second baseman, he drove in. He had bases loaded. He had a bases loaded double and he hit the ball to the very deepest part of center field. It went off the wall in the air, but that's as close as I've seen to someone just taking one out.
And that ball at Plainsman Park would have been out by 35 feet and a no-doubter that you're just staring at and go, hey, peace.
Yeah, well, he would have been able to just pimp it at the plate because there would have been an absolute no doubt on it.
But, I mean, they get the convention center in the skyline, so they got what they wanted. It's all good. It's fine.
They got that.
The convention, it's pretty. It's out there. Everything's good. So, all right.
Hard to get it out of there. I mean, the big boys can get it out of there. You know, like Elko hit one that no park was holding that. And I guess it was Caden Wallace last night hit one that was the same way. And
Elko said he wasn't sure he got it all.
Yeah, well, he did.
Well, Mike was kind of making fun a little bit because, I mean, they give Chatagnier crap even though he's got, like, 9 home runs or whatever. And he's like, yeah, you know, Tim hit that. He goes, I don't know if I got it. And he goes 416. He goes, Peyton hit 2. He went 0-for-5, but he had 2 balls that he got all of it and couldn't get it out of there. Like, that was it. That's all I got. It's over.
So. Yeah, Peyton had that look on one of those flyouts like, you know what, this is ridiculous. I mean, because that he hit it where, God, it feels so heavenly, you know, off your hands and your back.
Well, you don't feel it at all. It just, pow. Yeah. Okay.
You're like, okay, I'm going to get to try it around. And you're like, nope, you're not.
Out.
So. The balls that were out of Swayze.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gone. Done. Yeah. So. Yeah. Podcast brought to you in part by G&M Pharmacy, 662-236-2222. They deliver locally in the Oxford area, and they offer MedSync. for your prescriptions the same day each month and take care of you. One trip to the pharmacy, one delivery, and you have what you need when you need it with Tyson Drugs in Holly Springs or G&M here in Oxford. 662-236-2222.
I'll have a hand raise, guys, to you later in the week. It depends. The day depends on what happens tonight, tomorrow. Working on a show. Be a good guest. I think you'll enjoy it. It's brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. Different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer, 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call Southern, 662-429-4429. Also brought to you by Pinnacle. Pinnacle, home to the Pinnacle 401k Advisory Services Team. They'll conduct a complimentary, no obligation benchmarking and analysis of your current 401k plan. It's mypinwealth.com, mypinnwealth.com. I know a lot of people right now are laser focused on Omaha, but one way or the other, it's going to end on Monday and people are going to get back to their summer plans. If you are thinking about a summer vacation, get in touch with John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. Just give him some parameters, give him a budget, let him give you some options. And know this, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients will save $50 off their first book trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. And we're brought to you by OPA. It's Oxford's newest restaurant on the square. Euros, wraps, kebabs, redfish, lamb chops, handcrafted cocktails, frozen libations, an amazing candlelit patio, and more. 306 South Lamar, just south of the Square Courthouse in Oxford. I'll have a mailbag up later today at rebelgrove.com. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt of Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors, serving you for all of your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. Whitney sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. You can reach her at 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844. And we're brought to you by Service Specialist Staffing and Recruiting Agency. We tell you all the time about if you're looking for a job, they connect great job opportunities to candidates. They are phenomenal at it. What they also can do is if your company is looking to hire quality, hard-to-find talent, Service Specialists can help you as well. Keep in mind that payment of service is solely contingent on if you decide to hire a candidate that they send. You've got nothing to lose, so give Will, Sydney, or Kelsey a call at 662-832-5138 or check out their new and improved website, servicespecialistsltd.com.
I guess it's brought to you by Johnston Hill Creamery. Johnston Hill Creamery right there off Molly Bar in Oxford. It's on White Oak Lane. I'll tell you about Tasting Tuesdays. Every Tuesday between now and the end of August, they're going to celebrate summer and have one house cheese and one house condiment. Come in, you can sample it and give it a try. Come back every week and give them multiple things a try. This past Tuesday, it was their soft ripened cheese, the lowest, with pepper jelly. So next Tuesday, another one. That's 11 to 3 every Tuesday during June and August. Go to their Instagram page at Johnston Hill Creamery on Instagram to see all different creations as they come about, or give them a call. Again, 662-419-9201. I saw that the average score in the College World Series to this point is 9-3. Have not been a ton of close games. It has been a lot of blowouts.
Yeah, it has. You know, the game last night was sort of indicative of it. Carl Ravitch and them are searching for things to talk about. They're having to, you know, use fans in the stands. And that's frustrating for the hardcore college baseball fan. I get it. But I keep telling people this, that they're speaking to a national audience that presumably does not watch a ton of college baseball. And you're hoping for these entertaining, dramatic games with, you know, seasons on the line in the ninth inning. And you're just not getting that. Because you've had a handful of games, Arkansas, Ole Miss. You've had a handful of games that get away in the middle, and the coaches go, okay, white flag, got it. We can't burn stuff. And I think from a TV standpoint, that makes those games kind of tough.
I don't know the answer to it. I understand why they do it. A couple different things here. I do wish they would use just college now announcers more, because the pro guys like Perez and frankly Ravitch too, they don't know the college game. They're coming in and just parachuting and trying to figure it out. You're getting less sort of appeal. You're getting fewer stories told because they just haven't seen these guys. They don't know them. There's not tendencies to this anymore. Kyle Peterson is fantastic. Chris Burke has been pretty good when he's done the last few weeks. I think Mike Monaco is pretty good, kind of a new play-by-play guy starting to get a little bit more work. And then Ben McDonald's at least entertaining most of the time. So it's not a complete wash, but I do feel like, especially with Perez, they just got guys coming in that have no idea what is going on for the most part, and it does affect them. But, yeah, last night, I mean, I think they showed the two brothers eating cotton candy 9 times over the course of a 3.5-minute period. But I don't know what you do in a game, but I think at that moment it was 9-0. It sort of is what it is.
I mean, you can't be like, hey, this is a big pitch right here at 9-0. This hitter, this is important. And
like you said, you have to realize you're getting so many flyover fans of just college athletics or even these teams. I mean, not every Oklahoma fan for football is an Oklahoma baseball fan and understands right. Skip Johnson and Cade Horton and those guys.
Right.
So, you know, Suss and I were talking about this during the game on Monday because it was kind of the same deal. We had the TV broadcast up and they were doing something weird to kill time. And he goes, you know, we make fun of it because we watch so much college baseball, but they showed Kim Mulkey in the stands for a reason, that she was Kramer Robertson's mother, because the average fan that just turned it on a Monday had no idea. Like, they found a way to connect, because not everybody who's not watching Thursday night SEC baseball every week goes, oh God, this again. But that's not just a decision to kill 5 minutes. It was because, hey, look, there's this and people aren't watching and notice this and whatever. What do you make of this? Did you see this rating number the other night? Did you see this on Sunday?
No.
So on Sunday night, Oklahoma Notre Dame was playing, obviously two high-profile programs, or at least athletic departments would be the more relevant way to put it. It went head-to-head straight up with Sunday Night Baseball. Sunday Night Baseball was White Sox Astros on ESPN. Oklahoma Notre Dame was on ESPN2. And Oklahoma and Notre Dame crushed Sunday Night Baseball. It pulled a 1-4 to a 1-0 on Sunday night. What do you make of that? Because it's White Sox Astros. It wasn't like two just nobodies that you're not paying attention to.
I don't know that Major League Baseball, from a national standpoint, I'm not talking about regional broadcast, because they're doing great regional broadcast. The guy who lives in New York, who loves the Mets, watches every night on Bally Sports or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't correct me, everybody. I don't know what the New York market is, but
the Braves are on Bally Sports. I mean, you say Atlanta and they work. Okay.
So they, whatever. Yeah. But I don't know that outside of Yankees, maybe Cardinals, maybe Cubs, Dodgers, there's a few franchises. And even those, I just don't know that people are dialed into Major League Baseball anymore, Chase. And the college game is, Omaha's fun. Omaha TV is fun. I know people would rather watch the games. If you're a true college fan, you'd rather watch the games on campuses. But if you aren't a big fan of one of the teams, or just in general, the whole idea of Omaha is fun, and the different fan bases and stuff all being there at the same time. And so I'm not surprised. It shows you, like you mentioned, those are two big brands, Oklahoma and Notre Dame. Two big brands going at each other on a Sunday night.
Because the College World Series hit such a home run, and ESPN hit such a home run that they had no part of, in that they got 8 really strong brands.
Yeah.
This wasn't the College World Series where it's Lafayette and Coastal Carolina and you're doing that. I mean, they sent 8 heavyweights to Omaha from a branding standpoint this year.
Yeah, you had the long.
Where the guy in Dubuque goes, nope, look, it's Auburn and Ole Miss and Arkansas, and we're in. Like, you put a football mentality on it. Because you go, no, those are good programs. Let's watch.
I'm actually communicating with the guy in Dubuque now, so I might be able to say this with more conviction.
Oh, did you message our guy?
Yeah, we have communicated on Twitter.
Yeah. Appreciate Calvin Harris's dad for that assist. He helped hook that up this week.
But yeah, no. I'm assuming here that the guy sitting in Dubuque on Sunday night opens up his pale ale and goes, "Who do we got? Oklahoma, Notre Dame? What the hell?" I mean, kind of what I think. And then it ends up being a fairly entertaining game, and
wouldn't have that same reaction if it's Coastal and Cal Poly.
No, that's when he probably gives the White Sox Astros game a shot, or he goes, "Hey."
Hey, hon, Netflix, we haven't finished Ozark yet.
What's on Lifetime, babe? I don't know. I think it speaks more to the trouble that Major League Baseball's in from a national standpoint, but it shows you that there's been more attention on college baseball. In general, I mean, you know, we joke around about the Ben Menses of the world, but they've spent a lot of time trying to kind of grow the game and all that stuff. And I think people pay attention to it, and it's a fun game. More prospects now go play college baseball than they used to. It's become the major league franchises, I think, view high level college baseball as you know, comparable to high A ball, which is when you're looking at prospects in high A, you're starting to make real decisions about what their futures are. So it's a lot of that. And then, yeah, I think Omaha got what it wanted in a number of ways when you get nothing but heavyweights that come to your place. I mean, it's Texas and OU and Texas A&M and Ole Miss and Arkansas and Auburn and Stanford. And I don't know who I left out, but I mean, it's Notre Dame. I mean, if you'd offered them, hey, you can have who you want, they would have taken a bunch of those teams.
Yeah. Fan bases that travel. I mean, like, the only disappointing fan, because you knew Stanford wouldn't bring anybody, but everybody else kind of brought what you expected. Arkansas brought more.
ESPN would have said, please, can we trade in Stanford and get Tennessee back? That's what we would like. Can we have the evil empire in here that everybody wants to beat? Because that's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. By the way, your boy Rucker,
he was a little upset, wasn't he? He wanted to point out that Tennessee had beaten most of these teams during the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's not how it works. True. Yeah, and there was no soul on the face of the earth, not one, zero, who on the last day of the college baseball regular season said, you know what, I think either Ole Miss or Arkansas is going to play for the title. One or the other, for sure. Give me Ole Miss, Arkansas, or the field. Any human would have gone, give me the field. Are you crazy? But that's not how it works. I mean, it's about luck and draws and getting hot.
Notre Dame is a good team. They're not a great team. Tennessee completely choked it away. They couldn't handle it. They got popped back and then couldn't fix it.
Yeah, you saw it yesterday with Notre Dame. They're good. Fine. Link Jarrett did a fantastic job.
Yeah. And Florida State's going to welcome him as the Seminoles' new coach here in about 10 days.
He's going to open himself a nice bank account somewhere in Tallahassee. And good for him. But, yeah, to your point, Tennessee should have won. They didn't. I mean, sometimes the path is you know, again, you whatever your Achilles heel might be, it comes up and gets you. Like, look at the last 2 years, Tennessee this year. There was a little bit of a rumbling late in the year that they were getting tight. There was a little bit of a rumbling late in the year among people that played against them that their edge feels fabricated, feels forced. Wonder how that's going to play in a elimination game where it's tight. It did not play well.
It also speaks to that when you have that mentality and that attitude and your own go so much and you don't handle getting popped back very well, when it gets crunch time, it can affect you. They had a poor mentality for postseason baseball.
A year earlier, you had Arkansas with the knock on them kind of throughout the year was, boy, they're really leaning on Cops. They're really leaning on Cops. And it got him. I mean, he did his part, but he just couldn't carry him anymore. And so it's kind of where we started with the whole Achilles heel thing. You know, everybody's kind of got one, and sometimes more times than not, because, again, there's four teams left. Only one's going to win the championship on Sunday or Monday. Three are going to see their seasons end with losses. And so whatever the issues are, you got to face them at some point.
Every team left has some shade of red in their colors.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. SEC will have a team in the College World Series final for the 14th time in the last 15 seasons.
Yeah, and Oklahoma, I know they wear a Big 12 on their sleeve. Oh, and I've said, you got to give me credit here, Chase. I've been saying this for a long time. Oklahoma was the most SEC, non-SEC team that ever lived. And, I mean, I'm just telling you, Oklahoma.
Or like the kid like switched at birth, where you're like, hold on a minute, you're not in the right league. That's not where you should be.
Texas is going to have a transition into the SEC. Oklahoma is not. It is going to be seamless. It is going to be the easiest.
They're going to feel like they're finally at the right dinner table. Like, okay, we're home.
They are going to, they're going to move into a new home and all of the boxes are already going to be unpacked. I mean, it's going to be like that, the show with the people in Laurel with when they move in, just everything is pristine. It's going to be exactly like that for them. I'm not saying they're going to go win a bunch of football games. That's not my point. My point is from a fit standpoint, they're not going to be awkward at all. When
Iowa State's not at my dinner table anymore. Look at that. They're
when Oklahoma goes to Baton Rouge to play, they're going to be like, this just feels right. Yeah, this is where we belong. So,
yeah, since Oregon State beat North Carolina in the College World Series final in 2007, there's been at least one SEC team in every one. The one was 2016 when Coastal beat TCU. It was a crazy, weird College World Series that year. Otherwise, there's been an SEC team.
It also tells you just what a bitch the SEC West is. Just a grinder, man. I mean, just a grinder.
It's where, and look, Mike probably has a lifetime contract at this point, but it's where it's so weird to me because it's not anything, a lot of times he did anything wrong. As good as the West is and as good as Ole Miss plays in the West year over year, every year, every year, the most astonishing stat is it took him this long to win a road regional. Forget the super regional losses. The fact that they were never just the hot pain in the ass two seed that won a regional is really the strangest part of Mike's resume to this point. It really is. Oklahoma, they're coming into the league. Texas is obviously very good. They're going to make some Omaha appearances when they're in the SEC too. There was a column in the Omaha World Herald, I guess the first day I got here. I don't know. We were just kind of skimming through the paper. And the column was essentially that, and it wasn't in a bad way. It was just that, hey, look up in Texas and Oklahoma, and soon, there's the chances of basically, there's a lot of people that don't want this to be an all SEC College World Series every year and just make it where it's a one conference and a league tournament. And then his catch line was, it's too late. It is, and it just is, and there's nothing you can do about it at this point, that it is going to be an SEC College World Series annually.
Oh, there's zero.
They put more money and more resources and they have better players and they're just going to – those 16 programs are going to end up in Omaha more than everybody else's.
Far more. And if you think about it, their RPIs are only going to improve because you're adding two – frankly, you're adding two superpowers to the league in baseball. I mean, Oklahoma's always good. Texas has been to Omaha like 706 times or something. I mean,
Texas was the one program that didn't travel like people thought because, frankly, they're so used to getting here, they just didn't come.
Yeah, they had a lot of.
They were waiting to see if they'd get in the Final Four before they showed up.
Bingo. They were going to come up today or tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. You want to make fun of that? You're like, well, I mean, I kind of understand. I mean, Omaha's
38 times or something.
It's not novel for them. They go all the time. And Oklahoma's
– they're good. Oklahoma's a very good program. They're not an elite program. They're a very good program. And who's only going to get better playing in the SEC.
Who now has a chance to become elite. By the way, I get this question in my mailbag, and I haven't finished it, so you're going to help me answer it real quick. What's the latest on the whole scholarship thing with baseball?
I haven't heard anything new. I'll check today. I've obviously got a ton of time around all the national guys. I mean, it is certainly trending in that direction. I just don't know that I buy the timetable that everybody else is buying. People are talking about potentially really, really soon, as in 60, 90 days of change. And maybe that's true. Maybe I'm just not in the loop on that. But I feel like we're probably within a year. But I don't think I think this is one of those deals that comes up in January at the coaches convention and then starts moving into next spring, personally. I just can't see – as big of a change as this is and as many tentacles as it affects from Title IX all the way down the list, I just have a hard time buying that this is some immediate change that just goes on the books. I think this is one of those that we go through a convention and a Destin and the whole deal prior to maybe something next summer, is my opinion.
Because it's June 22nd. I mean, if you were going to push that through, you'd have to be doing it like in the next 8 or 9 days.
I mean, Chris Lemonis said on Richard's show – I don't know, a month and a half ago that he thought there would be some sort of announcement in 90 to 120 days, I think was the time frame he gave. Maybe it was different. I forget, but somewhere in that same point. But no, I've not heard anything else. But I mean, like I said, I'm surrounded by plenty of people who might have some idea. So I will ask them today when I get to the park. So podcast brought to you in part by NE Spark, two packages, the Ignite, the 100 Mbps or the Blaze. The 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford Studio. I've got it at home as well. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband. That's nespark.com, 662-238-3159. Phone service available, parental controls, network security if you would like that extra step. So get the best internet in Lafayette County. Again, that's nespark.com or 662-238-3159.
We're also brought to you by The Rogue. It's your destination for fine men's clothing. Their stylist hand-select pieces from top designers from work to lifestyle to nightlife. There's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, and more. 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or therogue.com. Don't just accept what you see, but imagine something new. Step forward, chase after a better version of yourself. Every day, Corinth Dental is helping people reinvent themselves one smile at a time. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative state-of-the-art procedures, including Invisalign. These clear aligners are the virtually invisible way to improve your smile. So call Corinth Dental today for a no-cost digital scan of your teeth. Let them show you the way to a straighter, healthier smile. 12 months, no interest, no down payment financing available at corinthdental.com. And we're brought to you by Bell & Grove, based out of Chattanooga. They are a logistics provider with more than 35 years of transportation industry experience. Bell & Grove specializes in domestic freight movement throughout the continental U.S. They can navigate through supply chain issues while also leaning on their partner carriers to get the most competitive rate possible for their customers. They can help customers design a custom solution for their shipping needs. And yeah, whether your business is in need of moving a truckload, a partial shipment, or a flatbed, Bell & Grove can accommodate you. They also provide both air and ground expedited services for customers who need to move product quickly. Call Daryl Oliver, 865-672-6555. And we're brought to you by Southern Traditions Farm, 68-acre, 32-stall upscale equestrian training and boarding facility in Canton, Mississippi. Sand rings, a grass ring, miles of wooded trails, a lot to be offered at Southern Traditions, including horseback riding offerings from beginner lessons with trainer Susan Walt to buying your first horse and competing at nationally recognized competitions. They've got Bowers Cone also, who is one of the leading equestrian instructors in the country. All of that at Southern Traditions Farm. You can learn more on Facebook or Instagram at Southern Traditions Farm.
Pretty neat. A little bit of a neat story on ESPN today. They are profiling the volunteer assistant at Oklahoma, who's he was the Yankees first base coach last year, and he switched to become a volunteer assistant at Oklahoma to be able to watch his kid play baseball.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's like every time Tim Hudson walks out to the mound, I'm like, this dude's doing this for free. He's just having fun.
He just wanted to be around baseball, just hanging out. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
It is interesting. I mean, Butch's staff is Gabe Gross and Tim Hudson.
Yeah, the Gabe Gross part makes me feel really old, Chase. I got to tell you, every time they show Gabe Gross, I'm like, I kind of turn away. I can't watch. I mean, I covered Gabe as a freshman quarterback at Auburn.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I get it.
I covered a lot of Gabe Gross games, football and baseball, as an Auburn beat writer. And now he's, what's he, in his 40s? Yeah, just it's not good.
You forget that they're – I mean, we don't forget their kids, but yesterday Ole Miss went to the zoo on its off day, and Dylan DeLucia was so excited to see a giraffe. He had never seen a giraffe before in his life. So yesterday he was all pumped to see the giraffe. They were walking around looking for the animals because they had plenty of all time. They practiced maybe for 45 minutes at Creighton yesterday morning. That felt like the most obligatory practice in the history of mankind to just get out there and stretch for a minute before getting on with their day.
I'm surprised they even took baseball to practice. It's like, but we're on a field. That's good enough.
Yeah, it was. I mean, there was no heart in it at all. Like, just nothing. I mean, they were just kind of throwing the ball around and hanging out. and whatever. I mean, honestly, I almost wonder in some ways if they just did it for a media, for the media to come get some stuff. It was just kind of like, okay, fine, let's have
probably.
I mean, we were out there with them longer than I think they were out there without us. So yeah, it was, and then they went to the zoo and gave them some time off last night, just hang out, family, friends, whatever. I saw a couple players at dinner. They were at the same place that we were. So yeah, they were just kind of milling about. They're staying down in the old market area, so it's easy to walk to all the restaurants and the bars down here and make it easy to get back.
There's no point getting tight. You're not gonna, you know, the hay is in the barn at this point. You're either gonna get there or you're not. It's not gonna be because you didn't prepare properly. I mean, it's you're in the Final Four. You're playing good teams. I mean, again, you know,
it's the equivalent of the guy who is on the driving range who's just like your weekend warrior golfer, like me or somebody, and he's like just grinding away. And it's like, dude, your tee time's at 8 minutes. If it ain't fixed, it ain't getting fixed in the next 8 minutes. Like it's done. Okay,
you're not going to get any better right now, champ. I mean, and if you have a good shot, the first thought that comes to your mind is I probably should have saved that for the second tee.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, oh god. So. Look, I mean, I think Arkansas, I wonder if it's set up through the schools or through the College World Series. Arkansas has been practicing in Omaha, like the Nebraska-Omaha all week, and then Ole Miss has been at Creighton. I don't know how they separate where they go or what they do or anything else. Not that it freaking matters in any stretch of the imagination, but I just didn't know. Because I know it was Missouri that played Nebraska-Omaha in a series earlier this year. Like I say, I thought Arkansas maybe did, but I think it was Missouri who did that. So anyway, I don't know. I don't guess I've missed anything in like the NFL world or anything, right? We got game four of the NHL finals tonight. The Lightning did come back and win game three. So they're down 2-1 in Tampa one today.
The biggest NFL story is still this Deshaun Watson thing. Like what's going to happen? What's the suspension going to be? Baker Mayfield sitting there going, you know, I could really be petty right now. Probably should be petty right now. I think that's about it, the NFL. You mentioned the Stanley Cup Finals, Tampa Bay.
Draft tomorrow night.
The NBA drafts tomorrow night. A lot of rumors about what might happen at one. Some of the betting lines on who's going to go number one have changed to make you wonder if someone knows something, but I think most people think that the draft starts at number four with Sacramento and things get interesting from there because they are easily the most unpredictable NBA franchise. They could do anything at four, from use the pick to trade the pick. There's no telling. But yeah, I mean, I frankly think a lot of the eyes of the sports world are on Omaha. I think people are waiting for it to get dramatic.
It's one where it's not today's topic. It's not tomorrow's topic. But when we need some filler here in the next week or so, whenever that time comes, ESPN has an interesting story on the best college football teams over the next three seasons. They're projecting out and trying to put a top 25 team poll together for the next 3 years. I find some of the spots interesting in that. So we can
hit that a little bit. Barrett Lee put out his predictions. And Barrett's not afraid to be bold with his predictions. He has Ole Miss at 10-2. He has Ole Miss losing to Alabama and losing at Arkansas. He has them winning 10 games. Has them beating
A&M,
Auburn, A&M, LSU, Kentucky.
I think a lot of Ole Miss fans will be signing in blood right now. Stick it and
if you
hold on a minute, Sugar Bowl, College World Series, Final Four, and 10-2. Done.
Like, if you offered Lane Kiffin right now, hey, 10-2, you're going to lose to Alabama, you're going to lose at Arkansas, he'd go, Where's the pen?
Yes.
Where should hand me the pen? Because yeah,
I'll be a little pissed in Fayetteville, but it'll be all right.
I'll get over it. Yeah. I'm going to beat A&M. I'm going to beat Mississippi State 5 days later. Yes, it's fine.
Yeah, hold on. I get a 12-day period where I get to beat Mike and Jimbo. Oh God, yeah. Twitter fingers. Oh God.
That's where he would go. You know, a lot of people lose in the cold weather in Fayetteville. They do. We don't like the cold, and you know, Alabama. I mean, Saban. I mean, he. I told you, he's the greatest ever, and he's going to. Yeah, he'd take that. 10-2 would be a phenomenal. That would be a program changing accomplishment, because that would,
it opens doors to go back to back like that. You hold serve and consolidate, and it's, yeah, that's a whole different deal.
Yeah, that he had at Alabama going undefeated. I think he had Georgia going undefeated. Had a handful of teams at 8-4. I thought what was interesting is he had Texas A&M going 4-4 in the league. And if that's the case,
woo,
we're going to be a little vitriolic.
So you have the Aggies and the Razorbacks winning baseball games today.
My gut tells me that we have two games tomorrow, and the two teams in the winner's bracket win tomorrow. That I don't, and that is nothing but a gut feeling. My sure. gut's been pretty good on this. I thought that Ole Miss would beat Arkansas the other night, because I thought there was a pitching advantage that was distinct,
and it was.
And then I thought Arkansas would beat Auburn last night. I just thought Arkansas had too much lineup for what Auburn had left, and that turned out to be right. And so for some reason, I just think Arkansas. I think because I just think Ole Miss's path has just been so simple so far that it doesn't feel right, and it feels like you got to have some adversity, and a loss tonight would be adversity. Mm-hmm. So, and look, you know, credit, almost hate saying this because I'm two or three of the people that listen to us will get upset at this, but Arkansas feels like one of those programs, much like Oklahoma, Notre Dame, Ole Miss, the kind of programs, they're not just going to roll over and get trampled on their way out of the College World Series.
Yeah, if they can help it, they're not going to be your coronation today.
Yeah, I mean, if they are, you're going to earn it. I mean, that, you know, it kind of feels like that. I mean, I feel like that's
it does at least. It feels like if Ole Miss wins tonight, it's that game where it's 4-4 in the eighth, and they have to scrap a run, and then Arkansas gets one on in the ninth, and they get a pop up. You know what I mean? You're like, oh god,
like you know, we said earlier. I mean, you can say what you want about their fans and stuff, and their fans can be pretty rough, no question. But that program's won 45 games for 5 years in a row. That's a do the math on that. That is a bunch of wins. They know how to win, and they win a lot. They haven't won the ultimate prize, but they've been damn close, about as close as you can get without winning it in 19. And they were really good last year, and this they've played really well down the stretch, and they've got a bunch of guys that have played a lot of college baseball. And they're, you know, like he made a lineup change last night. He moved Slavens to the 8-hole and moved Stovall up to number 2 because Stovall had been hitting so well and had five hits last night, first Arkansas player in the history of the program to get five hits in an Omaha game. I think it's going to be a hell of a game. I really do. It's two remarkably consistent programs that have been run by two remarkably consistent coaches over a long period of time.
I expect Ole Miss to stick with Harris and Wood in the lineup today and then put McCants in late as a defensive replacement. So that's my guess.
Even if they go righty or
– yeah, it just feels like Wood has had so many good at-bats, and he's a switch hitter. It just feels like the move there. Yeah, 100%. So, yeah, I think so. So, okay. Well, we'll get into tonight coverage at Rebel Grove. Again, content-wise, plus Neil will have the hand-raised guys post-game show following Ole Miss and Arkansas. That game starts at 6:09 p.m. today. Those have been the first pitch times throughout the tournament. And then that will serve as tomorrow's podcast. Obviously, there could be a game tomorrow night. And if there's not, that means Ole Miss is playing in the national title game or series starting Saturday night. Sunday is an afternoon game. It's a 2:00 start, I think, 1:00, 2:00 start. And then I think Monday night for a potential game 3, should that be the case. Everybody's off on Friday. So hope all of you guys have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you again soon.